KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:03, we have light rain here in Atlantic. Some heavier showers off to our southeast this morning between Highway 71 and 92 intersection, all the way over to Greenfield, a little bit north and south of there. And then the bulk of the precipitation is located between Highway 92 and Highway 34 down around the Corning and Creston areas. Good morning, I'm Rick Hanson with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. In Western Iowa-related news, defense lawyers are expected to start calling witnesses at the murder trial of a Western Iowa woman charged in the 2001 shooting death of a rural Iowa man that she claims was in self-defense. Prosecutors rested their case Tuesday afternoon at the first-degree murder trial of Tracy Richter, who is charged with first-degree murder in the death of Dustin Weedy at her home in Early. They say she shot Weedy after forcing him to write a diary framing her ex-husband in a murder-for-hire scheme. Richter claims the shooting was justified and in self-defense after Weedy and another man broke into her home while she was watching her three children. Her defense testimony begins today. Defense witnesses are expected to include a former county prosecutor who reviewed the case and did not file charges against Richter. News time is 8:04.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
A collision with a deer resulted in a small in-car fire Monday morning in Pottawatomie County, but no one was injured. The Iowa State Patrol says 33-year-old Andrea Root of Persia was traveling west on Interstate 80 south of Neola when a deer ran out of the ditch. After the 1996 Buick Park Avenue Root was driving hit the animal, the woman pulled onto the shoulder of the road. While her car was stopped, a small fire developed in the steering column but was quickly extinguished before it could spread to the rest of the interior. That happened around 6:45 a.m. Monday. City Council in Atlantic will hold a public hearing this evening with regard to the disposition of city property. That property consists of 7.6 acres of land located more or less northwest of the intersection of Olive and Commerce Streets in Atlantic. The hearing will be followed by a resolution approving the disposition of that property and discussion as well as possible action on a sale of the parcel. City Administrator Doug Harris said the land was included in a list of city-owned parcels which were advertised for farm leases. John McCurdy of Atlantic held a high bid of $3,000 per acre for the land, but Dave Chase, that's actually $300 per acre for the land, but Dave Chase, representing Nishna Valley Trails, informed the council during their last meeting that he'd been in discussions with Ted Wickman about getting an easement that would connect the Shulberg Quarry east to Olive Street. Chase said Wickman had been farming the 7.6-acre parcel since he gave it to the city in 1986, along with 10 acres of land the city owns just east of the Shulberg Recreation Area, Lake Number 2. Harris said he was unable to find any record of the city being aware of the arrangement. He added that Wickman didn't submit a bid for lease of the property. Dave Chase indicated he would be interested in buying or leasing it, and that would be contingent upon Wickman being allowed to farm both city parcels. Given the sensitivity of the matter, the city council at their last meeting decided to hold off on accepting McCurdy's bid and schedule a public hearing to allow for discussion on what should be done with the site and find a fair resolution on the matter. The City Council this evening will also hold the second reading of an ordinance adding a chapter to the city's code of ordinances with regard to a minimum maintenance code, which is designed to keep properties from deteriorating to the point they become dilapidated and or dangerous. The ordinance would require property owners to keep structures in reasonably good repair. The meeting begins at 5:30 at City Hall, and if you're unable to attend it, it will be broadcast live locally on Cable Channel 18 and rebroadcast at other times during the week. Cass County Board of Supervisors Monday were updated on the county's Continuity of Government, or COG, and Continuity of Operations plans. Rob Coppert, 911 coordinator, and Assistant to Emergency Management Director Mike Kennan explained why those plans are needed.
The COG is basically a plan that to provide government functions and for the continuance of government should God forbid, something happened to the Board of Supervisors or to certain members of the Board of Supervisors, that we would have a rank of ascension as far as who was the ranking member, who was in charge, who's making decisions at certain points, and then what would happen if we physically lose any of the facilities that we currently use. Of course, that would include the courthouse and the annex and a few other facilities. How we would continue to provide essential government functions if those were to happen.
The initiative began a number of years ago, according to Coppert, but is only now beginning to take shape across the state.
A lot of governments 4, 5, 6 years ago really didn't see the need for it, but I think that they are now starting to see that there is a good possibility that we may have some certain circumstances that we need to plan for to deal with in the unlikely event of something unfortunate were to happen.
Coppert says Mike Cannon has been working with the state planner with regard to the COOP and COG plans, and it appears the Emergency Management Department is ready to move forward with plans to meet with county government officials to discuss those plans. Coppert said that Cannon has a list of functions each entity in the county will need to discuss and prioritize with regard to that plan. That includes the various county department heads who will determine the needs for each department before a disaster strikes, so those items can be quickly acquired if needed. Supervisor Chuck Reakin asked if Cannon wasn't reinventing the wheel when it comes to the COG and COOP plans, because the state or other agencies have something similar in place. Coppert said there are templates available with which to guide the process, but the COG and COOP plans for each county would be county-specific.
The template plans are just that. They're template plans. They don't cover specific situations that may be unique to Cass County and the people.
What would be more unique to Cass County than any other county in the state of Iowa?
Well, we're talking about things like locations, where we would relocate if we were to not have the courthouse, like for instance, have it set up that the assessors would go to this particular location, and this is all written down. So things that are unique to Cass County with regards to that sort of thing.
The county is required to develop such a plan according to a federal initiative ordered by a presidential directive. Elsewhere in the news, funeral services will be held today at 10:30 in East Sac County High School in Lakeview for a Southwestern Community College student who was killed over the weekend in a northern Missouri crash. 18-year-old Crystal Ulrich was a freshman volleyball player at Southwestern Community College in Creston. Ulrich of Lakeview and 22-year-old 2009 SWCC graduate Joshua Bix of Hopkins, Missouri, and one other person died Saturday when the pickup they were passengers in rolled over. All 7 people in the pickup, including the driver, were ejected from the vehicle as it rolled. None were wearing their seatbelts. Sheriff's officials said the group had recently left a Halloween party, and alcohol was found at the scene. The driver, 22-year-old Scott Woods of Hopkins, Missouri, has been charged with 2 counts of involuntary manslaughter and 3 counts of second-degree assault. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou's job today is to win over European leaders hours after persuading his cabinet to back a controversial referendum on the latest package to help save his country from financial default. The plan has angered many European leaders and caused a market turmoil on Tuesday. President Obama will head to France later today to attend the G20 Summit of World Leaders. Before that, he'll make another push for a passage of a piece of his jobs bill. Obama will speak at a waterfront park in Washington and will urge Congress to pass the infrastructure part of his American Jobs Act. United Nations says that people often go hungry because of polluted water, drought, and other environmental factors that are increasing poverty and threatening the ecology. The UN Development Program released its annual report today, saying sustainability must become, quote, how we choose to live our lives, as the world population grows past 7 billion. News time is 8:12.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window, as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements, Terry Buckner, age 63, of Greenfield, died Saturday at the Adair County Hospital. Funeral services for Terry Buckner will be this morning at 10 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Jeff Allen Quist, age 34, of Harlan, died Friday at the Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Jeff Quist will be today at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Glenn H. Stonebreaker, age 74, of Exira and formerly of Adair, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Glenn Stonebreaker will be on Thursday, tomorrow at 10:30, at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Tawny Joe Lockery Stetzel, age 44, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Tawny Joe Stetzel will be Thursday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Jim Muherder, age 64, of Atlantic, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Jim Muherder will be held tomorrow at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Dale Fazell, age 84, of Bridgewater, died Friday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of Life services for Dale Fazell will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Ruby Ann Crawley, age 76, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Ruby Crawley will be held Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Sandra M. Wilkinson, age 71, of Panora, died Sunday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Sandra Wilkinson will be Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. And Kenneth Beener Eichen, age 79, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Funeral services for Kenneth Beener Eichen are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you this hour by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.